and everything. I have never taught out of a book. Okay, so this is new for me. So if I seem a little disoriented, that's why. But I'm sure by the time we finish, I'll get used to it. But I'm really looking forward to this study. I've done some reading and some research, and there is a lot of really, really good information here. The guy who wrote this book is a friend of mine. His name is Paul Chappell. He pastors in Southern California. And my understanding is that they have a really big church, big ministry there. And my understanding is that they actually have a grief class where they, it's like a Sunday school class, I guess, in a sort, where that they dedicate and they just keep repeating this. Because when you have 4,000 people in your church, you've got a lot of people who are constantly dealing with this issue. This is a curriculum that he designed, and it is really, really good. So it is set up to be a 12-week lesson. But I'm here to tell you, it's going to take us more than 12 weeks. There is so much information here. And my book is different from your book, okay? There is a lot of information here that I don't see how we're going to do it in 12 weeks, but we'll try, okay? One of the things that I never want to do is just load you with information without application, okay? So we need to be very cognizant of the fact that the whole point here is so that we can learn about this subject. I'm not here to just give you a bunch of information. I'm here to help us all grow and mature through this process. Because, and I think I said it this morning, if you have not been in the process of grieving, you will be. It is something that everybody deals with, and it comes in a lot of different ways, shapes, and forms, and we'll get into that here in a minute. But if you turn in your guides, the books that you just got, look at page 7 in your book. I actually have two books myself, so I'm going to be doing all of this along with you. But there's a group discussion at the end of each section, okay? And we're going to be doing the group discussion at the end of each section. And then if you turn to the next page, pages 8 through 17, there are 5 days of devotions for each lesson. There's 5 days. So there's a little section of scripture to read, and then a section of devotion, and then a takeaway, and then an opportunity for each of us to make our own personal notes. And at the end of this, so when we get to the end of each section, I want to really encourage you to do these 5-day devotions, the 5 days of devotions. It is incredibly helpful to process what you're learning, okay? And that's why he does this, is it helps you process what he has been teaching in the previous lesson. And then on page 18, there is a personal application area, and we'll be talking about this as well. So we're going to be going all the way through this, and there's a personal application at the end of each section. So when we get to the end of a section, we're going to be doing that. So it's pretty self-explanatory, but again. My book, the Leader's Manual, has a lot of information that is not in your handout. So I encourage you to take notes. in the margins. Write some things down. You may even want to get a notebook as we're going through this to just keep notes. So any questions before we get started? Yes.
I need to know if anybody else wants one because we sold all of them.
Oh, we sold them all. Okay.
I would like
one. Okay, so we'll probably order another. Okay, if you want one, we need to know how many more to order. So we only have one hand. Okay, so we'll pick up probably 10 more or maybe more. I don't know. We'll see. But we'll get some more, and as soon as we get them, we'll get them to you. Okay. Anybody else have a question before we get started? Yes. Oh, okay. Oh, well, he just gave her one. So,
oh, super.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
Start calling him Charlie.
Yeah, I gotta start calling you Charlie Brown.
All right.
At least I won't misspell it. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and dig in. John chapter 11, and let me say this so that if this helps you at all the scripture is in your book, okay? So you don't, it's not that you don't need to bring your Bible, I'm not saying that, but everything is in the book, so it's incredibly helpful. So John 11, verses 1 through 7 says this: Now a certain man was sick named Zacchaeus. Man named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he who thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then, after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity to study, to grow, to be hopefully more like you. We love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, this has got nothing to do with the lesson, but this is what I do in the margins of my Bible. I put notes. Chapter 11 and verse 6, next to that verse, I have written, denial does not equal... Or excuse me, delay does not equal denial. Okay, kind of like we were talking about this morning, waiting on God. Okay, just because God says, "Yeah, not right now," doesn't mean He's not saying no. Okay, so anyway, so delay is not denial. So anyway, back to our study here. Grief comes in a lot of different ways, shapes, and forms. Tell me, we've already kind of introduced this a little bit, but give me some ways that grief has affected your life.
Sadness.
Okay, sadness.
Depression.
Okay, depression.
Something a lot of people don't realize is that depression physically affects you as well.
Absolutely it does. Absolutely. John?
Sometimes it'll actually prevent me from doing healthy things to get better
So it prevents, and you bring up a really good point. It prevents you from doing healthy things like that, which actually starts a downward spiral.
Yeah.
Okay, Dave? Absolutely. Yeah, we tend to not want to make ourselves vulnerable ever again.
And you can get stuck sometimes.
Yes.
Make you angry
when you drive substance abuse.
It could, yes.
Make you angry with God.
It can absolutely make you angry with God. Now, let me ask you a question. Can death be a source of grief?
Yes.
Okay. Can a miscarriage be a source of grief?
Yes.
Okay. We know this. We've been there. What about that? And this is one that's in the book that I hadn't thought about for a lot of years, but this is one that it affects a lot of women. Particularly, what about infidelity? Can infidelity cause grief? Absolutely, it can.
And
our
Linda just said divorce.
Oh, divorce. Oh, absolutely. Divorce is a huge one.
Menopause.
What about being diagnosed with a life-altering disease?
Yep.
Or illness or whatever, yes. Yeah.
Immediately, I shut down and told him we can't go.
Right.
Because it just felt, I was so hit. It felt wrong to go do something good for us.
Right.
And Dad was facing something
right.
So bad.
Right.
You know? And,
right.
But yet, then I realized Dad would have kicked my tail clear up between my ears if I didn't go. So, but no, it was.
Oh, totally.
It was definitely grief.
What?
Even
what?
I wasn't the one diagnosed.
Exactly, but it's still a form of grieving. What about a loss of a career?
Loss of a friend.
Loss of a friend, or maybe even worse than that, the betrayal of a friend. As I was thinking about this, this one's not in the book, but as I was thinking about this, for Melanie and I, an empty nest caused a lot of grief for my wife. Now, I was doing the happy dance, but she went into a period of grief, of mourning. Why? Okay, so what is the common of all the sources of grief? What is the common denominator? The common denominator is that you lose someone or something. Okay, that's the common denominator. That you lose someone or something. Okay, and this is really important. So, I think we have a slide for this, I think, but psychologists suggest that there are at least five stages most people experience in grief. Okay? Do you have that five?
That one. Mine starts with the first of those five.
Okay. So let me, you may want to write all five of these down, and we're going to cover all five in this first section, but the first one is denial, the basic idea that this cannot be happening to me. Okay, denial is the first stage, if you would, of grief. Now, and let me say this: in all five of these stages of grief, you can literally go from one stage to another, but you can also experience multiple stages at the same time. Does that make sense? So, but these are the five stages. The first one is denial, and then anger. How many of you understand that one? Okay. How could God allow this to happen? How could my loved one do this to me? Yesterday, those of you that know me know that I'm a chaplain with Lyon County, and we were eating lunch yesterday, and I have a ringtone for whenever the dispatch for the county calls me, my phone rings at a certain ringtone. And so as soon as we heard the ringtone, we both went, uh-oh, that's what we do. And I got a call to respond to a home in Silver Springs where a late 50s, early 60-year-old woman just died. Nobody expected it. And there was a lot of denial happening among the family, and it was already, and I was there early in the event. I was, you know, she had been dead for about 2 hours, so and there was already anger starting to manifest itself amongst her family. So anger is a big part of it. And then the third stage is bargaining. Bargaining. Maybe if I do whatever, I can make this situation change. I was out on a call one time in Silver Springs again, and a teenage boy had died. It was right after Christmas. It was like 2 or 3 days after Christmas. Horrible time for it to happen. But the mother refused to accept the reality of the situation. She was trying to bargain her way out of it. And, you know, but this is one of the stages of grief. The next one, number four, is depression. Depression is huge. Depression can, it's, you know, the saying, it's no use even trying to go on. Nothing I do will reverse what has happened. Depression. And what do when depression sets in? We withdraw. And then finally, the fifth step is acceptance. This is my new reality, or this is my new norm. Acceptance. When these stages are often experienced, they may or may not take place one at a time. Some may come sooner than others. Some people, I've seen it, they go straight into depression. And that's always a dangerous thing. But it can be very, very scary. The reality is this, and again this study, he does a really good job of this. The reality is simple. There is no simple path through grief. You got to go through it. You know, the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art what? With me. Okay. He's going to be with us through the valley, because we have to go through the valley. There's no get out of jail free card here. the process is going to be different for all of us, but the reality is God is here to get us through it. That's the key. That's the thing that we need to really drill down on. Grief can be intense at times. He uses the word untamed, and I kind of like that word because it can be raw, can it not? And it can be deeply painful. Oh, somebody wants in. And one of the things, and we're going to see this unfold in this study, is the grief is not a simple trip, okay? Grief is a journey. And I want you to kind of get that in your head, because as we journey through life, grief is a journey. It's not a single event. It is a journey that we all are going to take. And as I was coming home from Silver Springs yesterday after dealing with the death of this lady in Silver Springs, the thought came to me, and I've thought this many times through my life. Death is a part of life, is it not?
It is.
Death is a part of life. Loss is a part of life. Betrayal is a part of life. And the better we learn to understand and cope with this, the better off we are. And that's why I felt it was so important that we do this study. So on this journey, there will be very different, there'll be many different questions that we'll be covering. One, how long will this last? I've asked that question many times. Oh boy, okay, God, I'm just about tired of this, you know? So how long will it last? Will I ever feel normal again? That is a huge question. Will I ever feel normal again? Am I losing my mind? Have you ever thought that one?
Uh-huh.
I have. Brian. is it okay to feel happy sometimes in the midst of grief? And the answer to that is an overwhelming yes.
Sometimes you need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Another question we're going to be answering is there something wrong with me because I cry all the time? I get asked that question a lot when I'm dealing with family members that are in the midst of loss. And the answer to that is
no.
No, there's nothing wrong with you. It's perfectly normal. Tears are actually a good thing. And then the next question is there something wrong with me because I don't cry? I've been asked that question. And the answer to that is
no.
Because why? Because everybody grieves differently. I've shared this before. I'll share it again. My mom, she died, 2 years ago? 3 years ago? Man, has it been 3 years? And about 2 weeks or so before she died, one of the last things my mom and I did was I took her to the hospital to get a thing fixed on her leg. And we stopped at Quick Stop here on 95. And she says, as we were coming down 95A, she says, "Hey, can you stop and get me some donuts?" Well, that was code for those little six donut things, little packs of six, and she liked the coconut ones. And so when she asked for donuts, that was code for, "I want a pack of donuts." So I pulled in and I went in, I got her a pack of donuts, and I ate three, she ate three, and we went to the hospital. And about a month after my mom died, I was driving down 95A and I saw Quick Stop and I started bawling like a baby. You know what? That is okay. That is actually healthy. Okay? So don't fall into that lie. And then the last question is, how can I be fine one moment and feel like my heart is literally breaking the next? Okay, these are all things we're going to deal with. So people, again, respond differently to grief. There is no right or wrong way. Okay? There is no right or wrong way to grief. But, however, one response, it is important that he's got it worded here. I want to reword it a little bit. I don't know. To me, it feeling grief does not mean your faith is weak. Okay? Feeling grief does not mean that your faith is weak. It means that you are human. Okay? Please get a hold of that. I don't want to go down there. And for an example, we just read John chapter 11. In the background here, Jesus is going to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Lazarus is what?
Dead.
Okay. Now, we read the story a minute ago, those of you that are very familiar with it, what did Jesus do in the process of finding the information that Lazarus was sick?
He waited, okay?
Is that what you're going to say? Okay, yeah, he waited. He told his disciples, he's like, let's read it. It was in verse 4. He said, and when Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death. Why? How could he say that? Because he knew he was going to raise him again. He was going to raise him from the dead. But get what he says here. But the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. In other words, what was Jesus saying? He said, hey, look, I understand that he's sick. I'm not going right now because it is more important that the Son of Man be glorified than I heal him from being sick. So Jesus delays his journey and he finds the two sisters and really the entire community grieving over the loss of his friend Lazarus. John chapter 11, verses 33 to 35. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? And they say unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Jesus, the creator of the universe, wept for the loss of his friend. So if Jesus, the creator of the universe, could weep over his friend passing, can we not also do the same thing?
Yes.
Absolutely. Jesus Jesus did not weep because he was helpless or he was overwhelmed. Okay? Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Right?
Yes.
He knew that. But Jesus wept because his sisters were crying, and the whole community was upset. And Jesus was in a sense of what is the word, empathy or compassion, you know. And you know, for a long time, I've kind of was a little harsh here in my own life, because I felt like Jesus wept there because of their unbelief. And I have since changed my opinion on that, because Jesus wept because his friends were hurting. How many times have you wept because a friend is hurting? We do that. You know, maybe they have a loss in their family, or something is going on in their life that you have no connection with, but they're hurting, you're hurting. Jesus understands our pain. And I think this is one of the critical points in all of this study, is that we need to remember that Jesus understands our pain. He was 100% God, 100% man. He understands our emotions. He understands our hurt. And if there's ever been anybody on the face of this earth who has experienced the pain and the grief that any person could experience, it would have been Jesus. And yes, he had not died on the cross yet, but he had been lied about, and I mean, you name it, you know, he knew what it was like to experience loss. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. Now, let me ask a question, and I want you to circle this word in your books here. I want you to circle the word all. How many of your tribulations or trials or struggles is he going to be with you on?
All of them.
That is an important word. He who comforteth us in all our tribulations. So, how do we receive the grace needed to help meet our needs? What does grace in grief look like? And that's kind of where we're going with all this. How does it shape the journey that I'm going to be going through? The tragedy, the loss, the pain. How does God's grace get me through that? How do I grow through grace is really the question. How do I grow through grace? Because this idea of just slugging my way through until I feel normal again, that is not God's plan. God wants us not only to get through grace, but he wants us to grow through grace and to be stronger because of it. Grief can be a tool that we can learn and that we can grow through. These are some things that we're going to be learning again, specific ways that God's grace ministers to us in grief, what it means to grow through grace, and resources that God has given us to help us. About the hope that God gives us. Man, what an incredible word, hope. We have a hope in our God that is. I thank God for the hope that I have in Him. My hope is not in this world. My hope is in Him. Another thing that we're going to be learning is what God has promised, and what not only what He's promised, but what He's doing behind the scenes. And you think, wait a second, what do you mean behind the scenes? I know people, and some of them are in this room, that have gone through just incredible loss. Just incredible loss. And you think, what good can come from this? Just hang on, we'll get there, okay? How to lean on God's promises in the midst of pain. How to overcome anxiety. That's a big one. I think, this is my opinion, but I think in our world today, anxiety is on the rise. And I think the internet has a lot to do with that. We are just in information overload. And then, and you know, not only do you have the internet and all the information coming in, then you got your normal situations we deal with anyway. And anxiety is on the rise in our society today. The depths and the length of Christian joy. How can someone, have you ever seen somebody? My wife and I are friends with a family. The Solongs. Those of you that come on Wednesday night know about them. We prayed for the family. And I just lost her name. Susanna. Susanna was on her deathbed with a smile on her face and the joy of the Lord on her lips, passing into eternity. How do you do that?
With a son
who has leukemia. And you know, we look at this and we look at this and we think, it can't be done. But it can. It can. So there are three things, and we're going to be looking at over the next couple weeks. Grief is destructive. Oh, I'm sorry, disruptive. Excuse me. grief is disruptive. And that is actually your first blank there. But and then we're going to talk about the growth is possible and hope is realistic. Hope is realistic. Grief is disruptive, but it doesn't have to be destructive. Let me put it that way. It can be. It will be disruptive. One of the things that I've learned about grief. Is that it usually comes unannounced.
Hope is what?
Oh.
We gotta get there.
Yeah, we're gonna get there. Hope is realistic.
Okay. The one you put in?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you confused everybody.
No, I know what I'm doing. Okay. Now I got all messed up.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Oh, I know what I was saying. Grief typically, or the source of grief, normally comes suddenly. You know, the only example that I can come up with right off the top of my head is that my mom and dad, we lost my dad a year later, or 11 months later, we lost my mom. My dad had been sick with dementia and some other things were going on in his life. And so physically, he was in decline. So when he died, we expected it. And the phone call came, and we expected the phone call. But with my mom, it was sudden, totally unexpected. And I got the phone call at 6 o'clock in the morning that she was gone, that she had died. And the grief that happened in our lives was much more, for lack of better words, more intense with my mom because it was sudden. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Now, we grieved both of their loss, okay? But one, for lack of better terminology, we were able to prepare for. The other one just caught us cold. So, grief is disruptive. I can only imagine what Lazarus's family was going through here. Lazarus was sick, and then all of a sudden, hey, you know what? Hey, we got to get out of jail free card. His name is Jesus. We'll call Jesus, and Jesus will come and heal Lazarus, and he'll be okay. We're good to go. But Jesus does what? He delays going. And he actually, for lack of better terms, he lets him die. Why? Because he knew he was going to raise him. But it still doesn't erase the disruptive nature of loss in the life of Mary and Martha. Think about it. They were obviously close to their brother, okay? Obviously they were close to Jesus too, because they were friends. And Jesus, we're not told in Scripture that they knew Jesus delayed his journey. But they felt that if he'd only been there. Yeah, the Bible does say that. You know, if you had only been here. What is that? That's the stage of making a bargain, right? If you'd only been here, he'd have lived. Had I only done this, had I only, you understand what I'm saying? Oh, they knew where he was because they, yeah.
Sent
they,
for him,
right.
And they probably,
oh, he can get here in time.
Why didn't he get here?
Oh, totally, yeah. Oh, totally.
They might have been a little upset. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows. John chapter 11 in verse 3, it says, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So here, We're reminded of the love that Jesus and Lazarus shared with each other. But shockingly, Jesus didn't immediately take off and head for the house, if you would. John chapter 11, verses 6 and 14. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And then Jesus, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So Jesus knew that he was dead. He tells his disciples, okay, now it's time to go. If you've ever experienced death of a loved one, you should be able to understand what was going on in the heart and life of Mary and Martha. We've all, most of us have experienced death like that. Maybe some of you younger people have not. But it hurts. And it hurts bad. When my mom died, it literally turned our world upside down, because it happened so fast, so sudden. Some of you have experienced that, and you know what I'm talking about. Actually, right now, there's a lot of tears in this room. The gut-wrenching darkness that we can feel with loss. Again, right now I'm talking about, because of the context of the passage here, we're talking about the death of someone, but it doesn't have to be the death of a person. We talked about a lot of things, the sources of grief that can be in our lives. Don't you just feel like sometimes you just get hit in the gut? I don't know how else to say it. But here's the truth. The feelings of grief you are experiencing are normal. And the sense that is natural. It is our natural response to a deep hurt or a personal loss. Many people, I think, try to deny that truth. And they try to, I shouldn't be feeling this way, or I should be able to get over it quicker, or whatever. Please don't think that. It is totally natural. Totally natural to be feeling the hurt and the disappointment. But I want to take a minute. I want to kind of change gears here. We're going to start talking about the reasons grief feels so disruptive in our lives. Let me ask a question. Who created the world? God did, okay? God created it. More specifically, who? Jesus did, okay? Jesus was there. So, in the original creation, was there such a thing as sin?
No.
Was there suffering and death?
No.
Please write this down in your book, okay? I don't know why this is not in your book. We were not created to experience grief. Let me say that again. We were not created to experience grief. It was all a result of the fall. Their entrance into the world is a significant rest of the study that we're going to be doing here. We'll get back to Mary and Martha here in a few minutes. But your next blank here, a good creation. A good creation. God created a perfect world without sin. We read about it in Genesis chapter 1. Six times throughout this chapter, in verses 4, 10, 12, 18, 21, and 25, God saw what he made and he said it was what?
Good.
No, no. No, he six times he says it was good. On the seventh time, when he was referring to man, he said what?
Very good.
Okay, very important you get a hold of that. So when after he created man, he didn't say, oh, that was a good job. No, he says, oh, that is very good. That is how God created us. Genesis chapter 31, or chapter 1, verse 31. God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Not only did God create a perfect world, but he created us with an incredible capacity for relationships. Please get this. Why did God create Adam and Eve and us? To have a relationship with who?
Him.
Because of that, we are relational beings. If we do not have relationships, we will not function well. And when we have loss of relationship, it hurts us deeply because we are created for relationships. We are absolutely social beings. The one thing during the creation God said was not good was that Adam was alone. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Why? Because he created Adam to be a social being. He created us to be social. And it is important as we journey through grief, it is important that we have to understand one of the reasons we grieve is because we are social beings. That's how God created us. Throughout the Bible, large pictures of our need of relationships. We see it all through the Bible. Here's some examples. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born into adversity. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. One reason, please get this, one reason that grief related to death or relational ruptures is so lasting is that relationships are meaningful. Please get that. Relationships are meaningful. Relationships meet a basic fundamental need that we all have. And when a relationship is severed for whatever reason, it is going to affect us. Period. And I'm out of time. Well, let's get down to this next point. I'll stop. Okay, there's a quote here. There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God. I love that quote. I love that quote. Adam and Eve had the closeness with God. Every evening, what would Adam and Eve do in the garden? They would walk and they would just spend time with God. I can't imagine what that would have been like. I've tried, and it's impossible. But we see throughout Genesis 2 that's what they did. This is a perfect environment. No sin, no loss, no death. Just a great relationship with God. But it didn't last long. Your next blank here, and we'll stop right here. We're going to talk about the big fall next week. We'll pick up here. We'll pick up here next week. The big fall, and our what? Oh, I said big. I'm sorry. The bad fall. Well, it's a big fall too. It's either way. It's a big bad fall. There you go. But I'm glad we got to this point, because right here, right now, is answering a lot of questions, or should be answering a lot of questions. Why loss hurts so much? Because God made us to be relational beings. And because of sin and death, God did not make us to experience that. That's why it hurts so much. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask as we close tonight that you challenge us through some of the things we've heard. Help us, dear God, to get a good glimpse of what we need to do in our lives to walk with you. Help us, dear God. We love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, very quickly.